I've already decided you're going to edit this one because you've cleared your throat too many times.
Yeah.
You've already cleared your throat so many times, and I know it's going to keep happening. So I'll do Civil War so I don't have to do this one. Listen to yourself clear your throat for a while.
You want to do the intro? You want me to do the intro?
Oh, whose turn is it? It's your turn, I think.
Is it my turn?
I think so. I think I did the last one.
I thought I did it. I thought I did it in the last one.
I think I did that one.
All right.
Your turn.
Okay. All right, I'll do it. Let me clear my throat one more time. Hello and welcome to It's the Greatest Show, Man, the show where we talk about the musicals you love and why they're great and why they suck. I am your host, Brantley Wheeler, and with me as always is my co-host, Emily Chavone.
What's up?
Not a lot right now. This show is kind of a downer, just because, not because it's sad, just because it is.
You want to tell the good people what show we're talking about?
Oh, yeah. So today we are talking about the Disney theatrical production of Tarzan, their version of the live stage version of the animated film Tarzan.
Yep.
And it made me question a lot of things, honestly. Particularly, why? That was the biggest question I had watching this show. Probably the most significant question that I had. I think if I could meet with them, I'd be like, I have a question. Why'd you make this?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. First of all, how dare you?
Well, if you are unfamiliar with Tarzan, I don't know why you would be. It's literally one of the most famous literary characters of all time. But if you aren't familiar with Tarzan, why don't you hit us with that sweet, sweet synopsis, Siobhan?
Oh, okay. this synopsis brought to you by Google Gemini. No, first I'm gonna I'll hit the production notes. So Tarzan is an American musical based on the 1999 Disney animated film of the same name. It has music and lyrics by British rock sensation Phil Collins. Woo. And a book by David Henry Hwang.
Yep.
After a workshop in 2004, the original Broadway production opened at the Richard Rogers Theater on May 10th, 2006 and closed July 8th, 2007. After 35 previews and 486 performances, it has since had a few larger regional productions in the U.S. and several major productions in Germany, which is somehow both surprising and not surprising at all based on what I know about German theater.
Things. Right. Yeah.
And also there's a production in Tokyo this year.
Oh, is there?
I'm not really sure why. But live your best life, Tokyo. The Broadway production was not super well received. It had one Tony nomination for lighting design. All hail Queen Natasha Katz. Did not win.
Nope.
And then the Netherlands production won a bunch of awards for the equivalent of best full length musical, best supporting actor, musical award for breakthrough talent, and was nominated for a bunch of other awards. So maybe this just is more fun in Western Europe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay. Summary brought to you by Google Gemini. The plot of the Broadway musical Tarzan mirrors the animated film, starting with an infant boy orphaned in the African jungle who was adopted and raised by a gorilla named Kala. The boy Tarzan grows up feeling like an outsider in the gorilla tribe led by the stern Kerchek. His world changes when he encounters a human expedition and falls in love with the kind and curious Jane Porter. Spoiler alert. While Jane and Tarzan connect and teach each other about their respective worlds, the expedition's guide Clayton secretly plots to capture the gorillas. This leads to a tragic confrontation in which Kerchek is killed. Tarzan must then choose between leaving the jungle with Jane to live among humans, or staying to protect his gorilla family. In the end, Jane decides her place is with Tarzan, and she returns to the jungle, where they choose to build their life together.
Credits.
It's basically the Disney movie.
Yeah, it is just the Disney movie, but...
So...
Yeah, I mean, it's... The movie's based
There's
off
some
of,
minor changes, like additions.
And some subtractions as well, as far as, like, changing the story a bit. Here and there, and
right, which is pretty standard for a Broadway adaptation of an animated film,
right?
So I'm not mad about that.
No, I would, I'm not mad about that either. I kind of question, there's one change I question because I'm like, this was seemed unnecessary. Why did you change that? But like, I mean, one of the biggest omissions between this and the animated film is they took out the elephant.
Justice for Tantor.
Justice for Tantor, man. He should have been in this.
That's what I was laughing about earlier. Hold on.
Oh, Justice for Tantor.
The best part of the entire movie.
Oh, the original movie.
And I was heartbroken. When the tree came down, we watched a bootleg, so I don't know what the lighting actually looked like, but I really thought it was an elephant. Like, I got so excited, and then it was just a tree.
Man, I thought about rewatching the animated film just because I wanted to, and I'm kind of sad I didn't, because it's so good.
Yeah, but you have like movies and things that you quote with your family at your house all the time.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, The Office is like always on our rotation, but for whatever reason, But What About Bacteria is also just in our family vernacular.
That's funny. That's funny. That's never one I don't think I ever would have picked up on.
Oh, he's so cute.
He is so cute, though. So, yeah, Tantor's not in it, and that's a huge... That, honestly, takes away a lot of like the humor that the movie had when it translated to stage. The only comic relief is Turk, which they also changed a little. But,
it's fine.
But, you know, this... I did notice that this is the second musical we've covered that is technically based off of classic literature because of, you know, Tarzan and Edgar Rice Burroughs and all that. Because the movie is based on the original book and then the musical is based on the movie. So it's kind of like, it's wishy-washy, but it's there. I made this note and I wanted to bring this back. When I was watching this, the musical version of this show, I remember thinking, you know, the animated film is not a musical. Like, on purpose is not a musical. There's the music, like the songs from it are iconic, especially for our generation, us millennials. But it's not a musical, right?
I would say not in the traditional sense, but some of the songs that were written for the original film and the like montages that happen in the film are clearly meant to convey that the song is maybe an inner monologue kind of thing. So
sure. But even then, the movie in and of itself is not a musical. So I'm going to take us, you and I, all the way back to season one of our little podcast, where you said something about, well, do you remember what you said during Baker Street about how there
are some?
I said
a lot of things. You did say a lot of things.
The one thing that stuck out to me the most as I was watching the musical was this. I believe you made a comment that there are some characters that should not be adapted into musicals because those characters should not sing.
Okay.
Do you remember making that comment?
Yes.
Something roughly along those lines. So go ahead and click that link that I sent you.
Oh, boy.
It's just a bit of an informational thing here that I thought was interesting. But you got what you get what I'm saying, though, right?
Yeah, but I think in the original iteration, this workshop version, mm-hmm. he didn't sing that much, maybe.
Really? That's...
Well, so there was a character called the Tarzan Storyteller.
Mm-hmm. Right, in the workshop.
Played by Adam Pascal. Who was cut. So now I'm curious if he just did... I mean, Matthew Morrison was the original Tarzan in the workshop.
Right.
Can you imagine...
The Grinch himself.
Remember when Matthew Morrison was cool?
Mr.
Shue himself. I never watched Glee. I'm not going to pretend like I did.
Anyway, but I'll just, for our listening audience, I'll just say that the video that I just sent to Emily basically is a guy explaining that in the original film of Tarzan, they did not want to make it a musical because they felt it would be strange to have a half-naked man swinging, like sitting on a branch and singing, and also to make it a departure from the other animated films from the 90s like Aladdin and Lion King that were musicals. And having watched this show, I tend to think that probably was the right call.
I don't know.
I mean, I remember just thinking, this seems weird. I don't know if this should be a musical. But if we were to make a list of classic literary characters that should not be singing, I think Tarzan is one of them. It's so far that list is two people. Sherlock Holmes and Tarzan.
Okay, so what we're learning is Brantley hates British literature.
Well, that should have been a given. I'm a red-blooded American. We're going to cut that. I'm editing this. I'm cutting that.
Nope. Pulling that out of context. Absolutely. I don't know that I agree that Tarzan shouldn't be a singing character. I think the reason I felt that way about Sherlock is because Sherlock Holmes has no emotional state. Like, he's all analytical.
Sure.
That's classic Sherlock Holmes. There are moments, but whatever. Classic Sherlock Holmes is all logical, analytical, right. No feelings. And in the show, they make a big deal out of that, too, where he's like, go away, hot lady, I'm solving a crime.
That's true, yeah.
But first, I'll sing about it. That doesn't make any sense. But Tarzan is, like, all emotions and no words to express them. So the bits where he is singing in its internal monologue worked okay for me.
I mean, I guess I agree to disagree. I just was like, I just don't, I don't get this.
I mean, I guess you could have a character who just doesn't sing, but then like, then you run into, nope, that's more effective. I was going to say like that production of Hunchback
where he was deaf.
With he was signing mm-hmm. and then he had one of the gargoyles singing. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was super effective.
Yeah.
But I think Tarzan not speaking or singing at all is the title character.
Well, I mean, still speak.
Not this version of Tarzan.
Sure.
If it's a retelling of the story from someone else's perspective, then maybe, but
I don't know. I just
sorry, I've ruined this.
Oh, no, no, no. You haven't ruined anything for me. That's a daily occurrence. You just ruin most of my day all the time.
Again, looking for a new co-host.
I was waiting for that to happen again in this episode for the fourth episode in a row.
It's going to get old.
It's already old.
It's not old to me.
I'm glad it's not old to you.
But wait, no, I got a better comeback. You're old.
Correct. As a side note, my 6-year-old was sitting with me on the bed in my bedroom and was just staring at me and going, "You have some gray hairs," and pointing and picking at them in my beard.
Good job, best small friend.
And I said, "Yeah, it's because of you." And he goes, "No, little turd." Anyway, so I don't know. I wrote down a lot of thoughts I had. I was just sitting here watching it. And I don't know where we should start with this whole thing. I mean, I don't know how else you're going to interpret gorillas on stage with people in costumes. I didn't have any problems with any of the costuming, to be fair.
I didn't think they were very effective.
I didn't think it was distinct enough.
That I think that's my biggest problem with the show is that and we have one man to blame for all of it because mm-hmm. he was the director and the scenic designer and the costume designer.
Oh, one guy.
And that's Bob Crowley. Wow. Which is weird because he's done other stuff that I thought was good. Hmm. Like he also did, I think, scenic design and costume design. Let me check for sure.
Didn't he do Mary Poppins?
Yes. He did scenic design and costume design for Mary Poppins. He did
scenic design
and costume design for Once. He did scenic design for Aladdin. American in Paris, he did scenic and costume design. Scenic and costume design for The Inheritance. Like he's and The Roommate. Like he's done a lot of stuff that I feel was good. So I'm not sure what happened here, but because he was also the director, absolutely it's his fault.
Yeah.
I think
sure.
everything is his fault with why I was just,
you know, I know as we were talking, I straight up just contradicted myself saying like, I didn't mind the costumes, but they weren't very effective. I was like, because I agreed with you on that. But at the same time, I'm like, well, he's not Julie Taymor, you know, and her like weird, crazy ideas and like the, it's not like, I'm thinking about comparing this show to Lion King in the sense that like in Lion King, there's a mixture of costumes and puppets together that kind of make that show work. And like, it's a very like African tribal style, but everything is that way. And then when you're trying to do this show, you can't really do that. But I was thinking, like, honestly, like, would this show be more effective with puppets?
That's what I was wondering. Is I don't know what I was imagining when I was thinking of this show, because I didn't really have any sense of what the show was, besides I had seen the scenic design for the show previously.
Yeah,
because it's just like a green box.
It's a green box with a bunch of vines.
Like, yeah. The Richard Rodgers Theater is really boxy. For reference, if you're not a musical theater person, that's where Hamilton was, is.
Is, yeah.
So, like, if you've seen the Pro Shoot and that set's really square and boxy, like, that's just the shape of the Richard Rodgers Theater, or the stage there. And so, just imagine, like, instead of the stairs and the bridge that goes around, it's just green streamers.
Yeah, that's essentially
what it is. That hang all the way down to the floor. That's the set. With a few pieces that fly in and out.
Yeah, and there's also like
And by pieces, I mean like a round fabric that kind of looks like it might be a tree.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, there's also different elements of like, there's a big projection screen or a wall that covers some of the vines, or maybe it's behind them. I don't know. It's hard to tell. But then also there's like scenic elements that are like elevated platforms behind the vine so they can like pull them apart and the actors can look through them and communicate. And I'm like, okay, well, I guess it's a way to hide stuff is literally cover it with a ton of vines. And I don't know what I would have done as a designer for the show. Not saying that I'm a professional on any level as far as like a Broadway designer, but like, it seems like a weird choice to do that. Maybe it's because of the nature of it and like the decision to fly literally every single person. They just needed a big open space. And I feel like maybe that's it. I don't know, but
yeah, I think if I were the designer here, I probably would have gone with big puppets a la Frozen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it is a cartoon and I think that would have been more effective because I think part of the problem, this is turning into like, here's Emily's big problem with the show. this movie, half of the characters are human and half are animals. And Tarzan being othered is a very big part of the plot.
Mm-hmm.
So when you translate that to stage and every character is played by a human,
it doesn't translate as well.
It didn't translate very well because he moved exactly the way that all of the other humans moved, except his loincloth was smaller than theirs.
Fair.
He didn't have like fur on his shoulders.
Yeah.
And long black dreads. He had long brown dreads. Yeah. And
he didn't have that punk rock vest that Shuler Hensley was wearing. That
yeah.
Had like streams of, I don't know, ripped denim or whatever the f*** it was. I don't know, but.
Right. So it kind of felt like it was trying to bridge the gap between like Lion King, which is very high concept, mm-hmm. and then something like Seussical, which is also very high concept in the other direction.
Right.
And I don't think that worked. And I don't understand why they would have made that choice, because prior to this, Disney Theatrical Group had Beauty and the Beast, mm-hmm. which I think the costuming for that works,
yeah.
because all of the characters are human and have been transformed into magical objects.
Right.
And then Lion King, all of the characters are animals, but are all played by humans. Mm-hmm. And so we just have the suspension of disbelief as audience members that these are all animals,
right.
played by humans. And then like later, like right after, it's not that far after this, is Little Mermaid.
Yeah.
Where they're both. But, like, mermaids are basically humans with fishtails. And then, like, high concept costumes for Flounder and Scuttle and Ursula. Like, I don't know why that worked so much better for me than this. Maybe because they threw a little more money at it. It kind of looked like they didn't throw a lot of money at this show.
Maybe. I will say, though, like, I felt like the gorillas didn't, like, super bother me because it wasn't until Jane came in that I was like, oh, this is not very effective as far as, like, concept-wise. But, like, honestly, the one that bothered me the most was the leopard.
Well, and I had a really hard time seeing the leopard. Like, again, to be fair, we're watching a bootleg circa 2006.
Right. And I did, too. Like, there's a couple times where I saw it. When I got a good glimpse at it, I was like, oh, that's really bad. Because it's basically a onesie with a tail sticking off the back, and then they're wearing a cat head, cat head. And I was like, okay, why that for the leopard but not for the gorillas? Is kind of what I felt. Like, why are you going more animalistic with the leopard but not the gorillas? But, like, or is it intended to be? And, like, maybe I'm overthinking this, because I probably am. Or was the intention to make the gorillas look more human on purpose?
I just feel like the show is so ugly.
I don't disagree with you.
I didn't like it at all. I thought I was so distracted by how ugly the costumes were for the gorillas.
And I was distracted by the fact that Tarzan was weirdly hairy, but I don't know.
And not ripped enough to be swinging from vines all day long.
No. Not
where were
all.
His abs?
I was wondering that too, Michael. Like, well, he's not the most ripped guy. And kind of weirdly hairy.
Sorry, Josh Strickland.
Yeah, sorry, Josh Strickland. I know that you're out playing in Vegas doing your thing, but, like, this was not... There was not a lot about this that I liked. I mean, like I told you before, I took a 40-minute break watching this in the middle. I could just rapid-fire all of my comments that I wrote. But I did say about this, the leopard. I said the leopard was a big letdown, but I guess it tracks all the other animal interpretations in this show. Just like
you let us down, Bob.
Let us down. I said, man, Shuler Hensley could just had a rough go in the 2000s, didn't he?
I did make it up. That was actually one of the highlights for me, was catching every cast member who somehow had a connection to a show that we've already covered. Mm-hmm. So Shuler Hensley was in the Great American Trailer Park musical, yes, and I think he did these shows back to back.
He did. And then he left this show to do Young Frankenstein.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him for sure.
Good call, babe. Good call. Jennifer Gambetes was Jane on Broadway. Mm-hmm. She was also the understudy for Mary Lane in Reefer Madness off Broadway. And played Maria in The Sound of Music in a production at the Lyric Opera of Chicago. And then Merle Dandridge, who played Kala, was Kathy in a production of Company in Chicago. So I lovingly will refer to these people from now on as Greatest Show Pod alum. If you've been in the show we've covered, you're officially an alum of our podcast.
I love that. We're keeping that for sure.
GSP alum Shuler Hensley.
I don't know. Just like, but watching this show too, when I saw Shuler Hensley, I was like, oh man.
I hadn't looked him up, I wouldn't have recognized him.
I recognize his voice.
Maybe I've repressed the Trailer Park Musical memories.
I mean,
but he didn't sound the same at all.
There's a tone that he has that I was like, oh, that's him. Or maybe I thought, he sounds familiar. Who is it? Da-da-da-da. Oh, Shuler Hensley. Yeah, for sure. But like literally the next comment that I made was, why is this show so much weirder than all of Disney's other shows? It doesn't work in like the worst way. And I know that this show was not a success on Broadway as far as like Disney's standard, but it ran for 400 performances.
Right. I think that just goes to show you that audiences will buy tickets to things that they recognize, mm-hmm. and they don't care about other things, which is a shame. And I feel like we're all guilty of this. I'm guilty of this too. But I also think that I have my finger on the pulse of Broadway more than the average person just like wandering through New York City. Yeah. But I still like, I've been to New York twice in the last year. And I only wanted to see shows that I'd heard buzz about. I didn't like just walk into a show I knew nothing about. So
right.
if you're a tourist like wandering through New York City with your kids and you're trying to figure out what show to see and you see that Tarzan is an option, I think,
like, oh yeah, let's go see Tarzan.
Yeah, we'll go see, we've seen that movie, that's okay for kids.
Yeah. Which,
whereas the other shows on Broadway at the time,
yeah, Jersey Boys,
were Jersey Boys, The Drowsy Chaperone, The Color Purple, yeah. The Wedding Singer, yeah. A revival of Sweeney Todd and The Pajama
yeah,
King.
Yeah, so.
So.
Your choices are pretty limited unless you're going to go see Lion
go
King.
Go see The Lion
or,
King.
I think Beauty and the Beast was still running at the time.
Yeah.
So, like, those are your choices. So I understand, but like, oh, you know, we've seen Beauty and the Beast and Lion King before. Let's go see Tarzan. It's the new one.
Well,
and then just leaving,
in 2000,
like, this was awkward.
In 2006, it probably was easier to get tickets to Tarzan than the other two. Because
yeah.
Lion King was still, I mean, Lion King had been running for, 9 years at that point? And Beauty and the Beast had been running since 1994.
Yeah.
But they were, I remember them being hot tickets.
For sure. So, like, I guess I don't blame people there, but, like, the show is just so weird, and I'm like, Tarzan is just, it's just such a strange choice to me. Because, like, I know the music is popular. It was, like, some of those songs, like, to be fair, when my youngest son was itty bitty, I didn't sing traditional lullabies or anything like that. I would usually sing, I sang You'll Be in My Heart to him all the time when he was a little baby. I'd hold him and I'd sing it to him. And so, like, that song resonates with me a lot as well. Unlike a lot of the other songs are just like the songs in this show, like from the music, from the original movie, are just straight up bangers. And like, I get the music is popular, but I just don't think this is a very good direction to take this show. Like, it doesn't work. It doesn't make sense.
You just reminded me of the memes from a couple years ago. They were like, Phil Collins didn't have to go that hard on Tarzan, but he did that for us. Remember in COVID when that's where we like found our happiness was remembering Phil Collins loves
yeah,
us?
I do remember that. And
but
and
I,
correct. I feel that. I feel that. On a spiritual level, I feel that.
What I'm confused about is if I'm sitting here in, like, I don't know, 2003... Mm-hmm. I'm assuming, right? If they workshopped in 2004, it's at least 2003 when they start working on this musical, maybe right. sooner. They're looking at like all the Disney properties to be like, what should we adapt next? They had so many good ones from the 90s right there.
The
like,
Disney
why did it take so long for Aladdin?
Massive. Yeah.
Why did it take so long for Aladdin?
Why did Little Mermaid happen after this?
Little Mermaid has been huge forever. But then like Hercules and Mulan were right there.
Right there.
Those are some of my favorites from the Disney Renaissance, and it took a long time to get on that.
Yeah.
What else? There was another one I was thinking of.
I mean, Hunchback happened before this, but it premiered overseas. It premiered in Western Europe, Eastern Europe, I think. But like,
I don't know.
I was looking up Disney theatricals earlier, but like, I know like Hunchback happened before this, and Hunchback's my favorite Disney movie, just straight up, and. Why they picked to do Tarzan instead of bringing Hunchback over to Broadway, I will never understand.
Yeah.
We didn't get an English version of Hunchback until what? 2021?
No, it was before that.
It was before that?
Surely.
Let me look.
It was before COVID.
Oh, it was before. It was while I was in college.
Wasn't Michael Arden...
Michael
Hunchback.
Arden was in it,
and
yeah.
he's not even direct. He's only directing 2015. These days. Okay,
from 2015, but still, 20 like this like the Hunchback musical opened overseas in like 2002 or 2003, four maybe sometime before this, and they chose to do Tarzan on Broadway instead of Hunchback, and I will never forgive you, Disney Theatricals, for doing that to me. Why did I have to wait so long to hear Michael Arden sing this? And Patrick Page. Why? Anyway.
Oh, yeah. Patrick Page.
Yeah. He
Greatest
was,
Show Pod alum, Patrick Page.
Yeah. 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 Because he was Frollo in that. And it's incredible. It is so good. But we got Tarzan instead.
Yeah. I'm not. I wonder if it was just a matter of, like, is it a licensing issue or what? Or did Bob Crowley just be like, I have an idea. And they were like, sure, Bob. Have yeah. at it. And
well,
that was a mistake, because you'll notice he didn't really direct anything after that.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, I'll say this too. Like, I did have this thought as well, because Little Mermaid was after this. I'm like, did this show have to walk so that Little Mermaid could run. Because I'm glad they figured out this whole like flying multiple people thing before Little Mermaid, because it makes more sense there. And I remember watching like the bootleg of Little Mermaid that I watched, like the movement in the air, like when they're flying and they're swimming underwater, looked a lot better and also made more sense. Because like they're supposed to be underwater, and this they're just swinging through the air, but like they go out and then back and then out. They're literally swinging.
He's
and they're
demonstrating
not
with his
other.
Hands which way they go, even though you can't see it.
Yeah, sorry, I talk with my hands. But like, yeah, they swing out from, but like from out of the vine curtainy thingy, and then they swing back into it, and then they like, oh no, I'm gonna like Spider-Man, and like they turn upside down and crawl around and do all kinds of stuff, like they're climbing, like faking all that. I mean, it makes sense to do that for safety purposes, clearly, because you don't want actors trying to climb 20-foot vines by themselves or whatever it is. But I'm also like,
it's not as
effective as I think it could have been. I don't know how effective it is overall, but
I was wondering that too, is how much different it looked sitting in the audience versus watching it, a bootleg.
Well, from what I could tell, like adult Tarzan, when he comes into the scene, he swings out from the audience onto the stage.
Right. But like we had other shows where flying happened through the audience at this point. So was this considered super high spectacle and like ooh and ah? Because that happens in Wicked.
Yeah.
And
I think maybe.
Like we had other shows that had more controlled flying, like Peter Pan and Mary Poppins is before this and Little Mermaid's right after this.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was very wild.
And maybe that was the point. Maybe that's what they were trying to do. But like I will say I didn't feel at any point like any fear for the actors, like they were going to fall like in Spider-Man. I never felt like that. No one was ever going to get hurt, but I did feel like it just looked kind of sloppy, and I felt the same way about. Hold on, let me find what exactly I wrote here. I wrote, "What's with all the flipping?" I don't think I've seen gorillas just randomly flip for no reason. So why are you flipping? Why are you doing cartwheels randomly? Why are you doing these onstage acrobatics when they're not really acrobatics? Like they're not like. When you like, cause like when you think of when I think of that word, I think about the circus, and I don't. But like, that's not necessarily what they're doing. They're literally just like jumping and slamming their arms down, like kind of emulating what an ape would do. But they also don't move like apes. The only way that they move that way is when they're walking on all fours. But even then, it doesn't translate that well. So I don't know, like. There is choreography, but the way that they do it, they're kind of like, they're not all in sync all the time. And they're like, I don't know. It's weird.
It reminded me of a bunch of preschoolers at a trampoline park.
Yes. That, yeah. That
it's just like,
is a perfect analogy.
Watch
yes.
me jump around. I can do a backward roll. And I think, I suspect that a lot of that was done on purpose, again, to try to make it clear that these are the gorillas and these are the humans. Mm-hmm. And there's two separate groups, but then Tarzan moves and acts like the gorillas for the majority of at least Act One and is dressed very similarly to them. And the whole thing is that he's been othered, but he's literally doing everything right to fit in with all these white people in gorilla costumes. So
yeah,
they weren't all. But then like the two main gorillas had very limited physicality.
That's true. Yeah, Kala and Kerchek don't move like gorillas that much. They just stand up and walk around. When it's just the two of them, they just stand
they
up
just
and walk
stand
around.
They just stand and walk around. Yeah, like humans. Yeah. Because they are played by humans, but...
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it just didn't apparently work for
Apparently I wrote this. I don't know why it's harder for me to get behind. This is an actor. This actor is a singing gorilla more than... This actor is a singing candelabra. Like, it was just hard... Like, that... Suspension of disbelief was harder for me to get behind for watching this.
Because the singing candelabra is a human.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Who was turned into a candelabra by magic.
Yes, I get that. But then also, you know, what going with what you're saying in the sense that these gorillas are upright walking like people. They're not acting like gorillas, not moving like an ape would. Someone needs to get Andy Serkis and bring them in for this and like have him teach them how to walk like a gorilla, because that man is incredible. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't even think they necessarily needed to walk like gorillas, but if they had something else that distinguished them from the human characters, mm-hmm. like a puppet, or, I mean, King Kong wasn't good, but that puppet was impressive, and I'm not saying to do it at that scale, but
no,
Disney
no,
has
sure.
already done things. By the time we're at this point in the timeline, Disney's already done things in that style.
Yeah.
It wasn't that big of a reach, I don't think.
Well, look at the tiger puppet from Life of Pi. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
That was a really cool thing. So like we as humans are capable of doing these really cool things, and like it would probably be a huge pain for an actor, like for multiple actors to move a gorilla puppet, you know? Because there's a ton of gorillas in this show, which I understand that. But, like, what else can you do to help like, distinguish them more? Do you take the actor and dress them up to make them look more ape-like? Like, because if we're going to... trying to think logistically about having every gorilla be a puppet, that's a lot of puppets.
Yeah, but only, like, 3 gorillas matter. So you don't need to have 20 gorillas on the stage.
Yeah, that's true. Because there's just Kala, Kerchek, and Turk. And then the leopard, which has a name, but they don't ever say the name in the show. They just call it the leopard, but they don't say it in the animated film either. But it does have a name. Well, yes, actually, they do say it in the animated film. I'm wrong. Anyway, its name is Sabor, if you're wondering.
I wasn't.
I'm not talking to you. I said this. I also don't buy the love story between Tarzan and Jane. Like, I don't make. Why do you like him? He's a weird monkey person.
He's a hot man, and he's not wearing any clothes.
And she's a sheltered little
British
woman.
It's Victorian England.
That's why
they like each other. Because Tarzan's never seen a girl in his entire life. And when you've seen nothing and there's no standard, any girl would be great. And Jane's never seen a hot naked man swinging around on a vine.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
This is something that I never had. Maybe, I don't know if you had this or not. But did you ever have like a crush on an animated character? When you were a kid?
Yeah. Yeah.
I never did, but I knew a lot of people who had a crush on Tarzan.
Really?
Yes.
That honestly makes sense, though. So I also feel like that having watched the show, listened to the soundtrack, I'm like, none of the new songs are to the caliber of what Phil Collins originally wrote for the animated film. Like, literally none of the added songs, I think, are very good.
But I think he was writing them for stage. And he's not a musical theater writer.
Yeah.
Like, I did have a note about the song. The first song Jane sings is called Waiting for This Moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like, half the lyrics are in Latin. And the other half are singing exactly the emotions she's feeling. And it's, like, still in that, like, fun, catchy style of the rest of the show.
Yeah.
But it's not, like, amazing musical theater writing.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder what it would have been like if they had brought in some musical theater writers. Like, if they had brought in, I guess Alan Menken was the big Disney guy at the time.
Yeah.
If they had brought him in to supplement, how much it would have contrasted.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I feel like Alan Menken does a good job of writing a variety of styles, but everything still sounds Alan Menken Disney.
It was Alan Menken and Howard Ashman, right?
Well, Howard Ashman did the lyrics until 1991 when he died.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Like, they were, but they worked together, right?
On Little Mermaid.
It was just on Little Mermaid.
And Beauty and the Beast, and then like Little Shop of Horrors, but that's not Disney.
Right. Yeah, but they were a team, and then Alan Menken does pretty good on his own after that. You know.
He worked with other lyricists, but
right.
So I just wonder, like, if they had brought someone in, would he have been able to imitate the sound? Because it also bothers me that things like Mary Poppins.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell what was added.
Yeah.
Just even without knowing the movie super well. So I do think it was a good choice to hire him to do it again, even though the music, like lyrically at least, wasn't quite. But none of it's really quite musical theater because it wasn't written to be a musical originally.
Right.
So I don't know.
I mean, the only thing I made, the only song I made specific notes about is that one. waiting for this moment. Because my first note was, this song's really annoying. I don't like it. It's a really flat introduction to this character.
People seem to really like that song from what I can see, though.
Why?
I don't know. Why? I don't think that's the better of Jane's songs. But we're in another situation where the Disney girls want to sing the Disney songs. And there are two female characters in this show. And there were three. And why did we change Turk's gender? Oh, yeah, that's right. We can only have two female roles because there's definitely no women who want to act on Broadway.
Right. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know why they changed Turk's gender. That's a whole different thing.
Rosie O'Donnell wasn't available.
Probably. That's probably why. She didn't want to get on all fours and crawl around like a monkey. But I don't know. The song, it also, like, it has a weird tonal shift in that song, too, at the beginning where she comes out. She's singing in Latin because she's, like, looking at things and naming them by their Latin name, like their genus and species and doing all that. And then there's, like, a weird flip, and she's like, oh, this is so, I know all of these. I'm so da-da-da. And I'm like, why the weird tonal shift, for one? Because it comes out, like, really creepy. And then the part of the show before that, I'm like, what the f*** is happening? There's, like, people writhing around in onesies and, like, someone's dressed up like a moth and they're just, like, I don't know, stripping. I don't know what's happening in this number. Like,
we're exotic plants and animals.
It made zero sense to me at all. Maybe not. Maybe don't do that.
It does make me, it made me wonder for a second because, like, full disclosure, I had it up on my TV and I was scrolling on my phone because it wasn't holding my attention. And no. I wondered if maybe, like, I accidentally hit a button and it skipped to a different pro shoot. I was like, is this something else? I was trying to figure out what else it could have been with, like, animal, like, weird insect plant characters. Like, is this James and the Giant Peach? Like, if we jumped to Spider-Man or something, what's happened?
I don't know, man. I but, like, that, I had that exact thing. I'm like, what? Why are we doing this? And then they changed the thing where she got stuck in a giant spider web and she was not even really pursued by a giant spider. It just was there because it needed Tarzan to rescue her from something. So they changed the baboon chase from the movie into a giant spider.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that was what happened in the movie.
Yeah. She gets chased by a ton of baboons. And that's why she's like, she freaks out because he, like, literally swings out of nowhere and saves her.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, you know, because she's terrified of all these literal monkeys that are chasing her. And then he shows up and he's like, this is weird. But yeah, they change it to a giant spider that moves really slowly. It comes down on stage left and then, like, kind of slowly skitters over to stage right and then flies out. And then that's it. And then she screams and then Tarzan saves her. And she mentions, oh, a giant spider. And I'm like, that was weird.
That's something I noticed throughout the piece is that there were definitely moments. No. There were definitely moments where they were trying to heighten the tension, and it felt like that they didn't really raise the stakes high enough, and I'm not sure if that's because they were afraid kids would be scared or if they were trying to hit the same timing as the film, because you can show a lot more in a shorter amount of time on screen than you can on stage.
True, yeah.
And so I wonder if they were just, like, trying to hit beat for beat, like, that same timing in the movie, because, like, the same thing happened with the fight at the end where Kerchick dies. It was so fast. He just, like, ran out and was dead. It was
Kerchick
so
runs
fast
up, goes, oh! And then
and it's like
goes,
bang,
and then Kerchick falls, and then Tarzan runs back in. He's like, no, father, and he's, like, chasing after them, and then they, like, then they slap fight for two, like, a minute and a half.
Not,
like,
even though that's no, the thing I that yeah, was so fast. Like, that whole sequence was less than 2 minutes for sure.
No, for sure. But, like, one of my other comments was, why does this fight choreography look so bad and fake? It just, like, from
I
where we were sitting,
it looked,
like,
better
this
from
looks
the
bad
orchestra, and, like, this person was sitting in the mezz.
Yeah, probably, but I'm still like, ew, I don't like any of this. This is bad. Like, I did not feel, like, when Tarzan comes in and fights Clayton at the end after he shoots Kerchick, I'm like, I didn't feel any tension. I was like, oh, these two men are going to slap fight each other? That's, like, what I felt.
Tarzan wasn't very ripped, you know?
No, I didn't believe it. I didn't believe he that Tarzan could beat him up. He just had to rip off the loincloth and make Clayton go, ugh, or whatever it was at the time. I don't know.
That just made me think about, like, how theatrical technology has improved in the last 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we haven't had any, what do I want to say? I'm going to use the word technology in not, like, a computer-based sense. Because, mm-hmm, like, we've had stage combat since the beginning of theater. Like,
right.
There's nothing new there. It's all technique. And then things like costume design technology. Mm-hmm. Like, I always think about how quick changes have improved, and really there's no new materials that have changed our ability to do things. It's just people are getting smarter in designing mm-hmm. them. Like in 2007, yeah. we had like the Legally Blonde costume change where they all surround her and then they come out and then she's in a new dress and you're like, wow, a quick change. Ooh, ah. And yeah. then 2013, we get the Cinderella like magic ball gown change. Mm-hmm. And then by 2018, we have Elsa and Frozen, like her dress whips off in like half a second and she's in the blue sparkly dress that yeah. everyone knows and loves. Mm-hmm. Like, how much has stage combat improved since 2006? Because that wouldn't fly, I don't think, today.
I'm trying to think of
what it, I mean, I just saw Death Becomes Her.
It doesn't feel dangerous. It doesn't feel like, oh, this is like life or death. It feels like, and that scene to me, it felt like, oh, we're supposed to do this now, right? We're supposed to fight. Okay, you come at me, and then when you come at me, we're gonna look at each other, count to three, and then I'm gonna duck, and you're gonna swing over my head. It's like, that's what it felt like.
Maybe it's just bad practice. Like, I mean, I'm trying to think, and I've never really been in a show that had a lot of stage combat that I was involved in, but like, were we not doing fight calls in 2006 to touch up stuff, you know? I don't know.
I don't think stage combat at its core has changed at all. I just think it was just a bad choreography. I think that's just all it was, because it like just wasn't very believable. It looked fake. And it looked bad. And I don't have any other words. Literally have no other words to describe how it looked to me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It could have also just been one poorly executed night.
Yeah.
Because again, we just had a snapshot of it. But
yeah, that's true. Yeah. I mean, and fair enough. I will say, I think the placement of intermission has to be where it is. I don't know where else you'd put it, because it's like Jane shows up, sings her weird song. Half-naked man rescues her, and then he sings like, oh, you look like me. Everything's different.
Is that where intermission is?
Yeah. Intermission happens right after different is where intermission is. Which I'm like, that's a real bad play. That's a terrible act one closing song.
Oh, Trash in the Camp. I thought Trash in the Camp was the end of act one. It's the beginning of act
beginning
two.
Beginning of act two, yeah.
That is my favorite song in the show.
Trash in the Camp is your favorite song?
Yeah.
It's
my favorite song in the movie also.
Well, that makes sense.
It wasn't great in the stage version.
Not at all. Look, here was my first thought. I was like, oh, good, Trash in the Camp. Great, cool. I like this song. It happens, and I'm like, well, there's not much trashing of the camp in Trash in the Camp, is there? They don't do anything.
Well, there was not a lot of set pieces to trash.
No, but...
But they rolled around on the ground and kicked their legs
a
bunch.
Yeah, they gyrated
like
a bunch.
Toddlers at a trampoline park.
I'm surprised. I mean, if twerking was around, I'm sure they would have done that, too. Like, I don't know, like, what are we doing here? There's not much trashing of the camp. And I'm like, another note I wrote was, it's kind of it's probably the best choice to open act two. But I also felt like in this version of the show, the song doesn't fit, because like, we haven't had a ton of humor in the show at all. And I think why it's so effective in the animated film is because, like, it's kind of lighthearted. There's moments where it's kind of intense, but it's pretty lighthearted for the most part. And then, like, it shows up, like, Trash in the Camp just kind of happens. Like, the gorillas just, in the musical, they just kind of show up and start, like, poking things. And we never go back to that set again, which also is weird.
Set, quote unquote, in air quotes.
It's in quotations, set. We never go back to that quote-unquote set again. But it's weird, like, at least in the animated film, like, Turk and Tantor and some of the other gorillas are like, oh, what is this? I've never seen this before. And they just start messing with things, and that's what creates the music. They know them hitting the typewriter and hitting different objects and doing all that, which is, like, the fun part of that. But that didn't really happen in the musical. There's a gorilla who, I think, I'll say in quotations, gorilla, who has a typewriter, and he's like poking it and it makes the typewriter sound. And then they have like a giant ball that I don't know what the hell it's supposed to be, but it's like a giant inflatable ball that they try to time it with the timpani or bass drum to make it go doom, 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 doom. But that's it. So I don't know.
It just occurred to me that maybe the annoying springy sound in act one with little kid Tarzan was to make this scene less weird.
What do you mean?
They were very heavy on sound effects. I don't know if we've talked about this on mic, I don't like sound effects in musicals unless they're really like specific and necessary. I they pull me out so fast. I can be I could be totally immersed and then I hear like boing and then I'm like, nope, done, I'm out. Like, which is what happens with little kid Tarzan in whatever, I can't remember what song it is, but he's like running around and
is it Who Better
there's
Than
like
Me?
The
song the Turk sings.
There was a song I remember in Act One. There was a song where there was like 100 of these like boing boing, boing sound effects. I'm like, you gotta stop. It was so obnoxious. And then Trash in the Camp. Like, what's fun about that is that all of these things are supposed to be making musical sounds, but to me, they could have just been playing with the props, and then the orchestra could have covered it. We didn't need extra sound effects on top of it.
Correct. I agree with that. But I also didn't see very much of the actors playing with any props.
Well, there weren't any props.
Because there weren't any. So, I mean, that's just another like weird thing. So much of this just doesn't work. Like, I also like had this, like, we talked about Clayton a little bit earlier, but why is Clayton Southern American all of a sudden?
Oh, I liked it.
I was like, what? Why?
Every villain is a Southern gentleman.
The Civil War. Anyway, taking it back to last week.
Thank you very much.
Last episode. You're welcome.
If he's got a drawl, you know he's bad guy. And yeah. I stand by that.
Yeah. Everyone in Oklahoma is a villain.
Every person I know who is a man in the South who speaks with an accent like that, I am specifically calling you a villain. Specifically.
Every Southern male.
Every Southern man with an accent. And some that don't have accents. You're also a villain.
Thank you.
At Greta Show Pod, hit me up.
Yeah.
Let's fight. But then also Jane doing her perfect Mary Poppins impression.
Yeah.
Like, was that not Julie Andrews? That's what I would have done if I had to play the role. I just would have listened to Julie Andrews talk.
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly what she sounded like.
I mean, to be fair, that's true.
But yeah, no, I wasn't. I couldn't remember if he was Southern in the movie, but I liked the choice.
No, he's not. He's very British. He's very British. Because, like, I even looked this up. Because I thought about this. I was like, why is he Southern American? I'm like, oh, maybe he's American in the book. So I looked up because they said that I read something somewhere about they actually looked at the book as well to try to come, like, you know, if they were going to change anything, take some stuff from the book and do all that, yada, yada. And out of curiosity, I looked it up and in my research found that Edgar Rice Burroughs himself is from America, but Clayton is British.
Hmm.
And it says he is a distinguished British gentleman from England. And I'm like, okay, well, then why Southern American all of a sudden?
It does feel like kind of a New York choice, to be fair.
Does it?
Yeah.
Does it?
Yeah.
Because Jane and Professor Porter are from England, why would they bring an American with them?
To shoot stuff.
Because Americans have guns and we like to shoot.
I think...
That's what we do.
As a New Yorker, I feel like if you bring in a character and everyone else is like Northeastern or British or whatever, and one character has a Southern drawl, you're like, oh yeah, he's the bad guy. That totally makes sense. In the same way that, like, in a lot of theater, like, conservative Christians are the villains.
Yeah, yeah.
It, like, the New York theater scene is just liberal. And so I don't even think of it as being like, I don't think of it as being offensive because I'm not a Southern man, but yeah. It just is like, oh yeah, that tracks. Like, if you need to, like, everyone going to see Tarzan already knows that Clayton's the bad guy, but if you didn't know he was the bad guy and he's the one with the Southern drawl, you're like, yep, he's the bad guy. It just makes sense.
Such
and you're
a
like,
weird
why
choice.
Why does it make sense? Because he's Southern. Clearly he's the bad guy. He sounds like he's from a plantation. He's clearly a villain.
Oh my gosh. Like, that's, I hate how much that makes sense to me, but like,
I'm just saying,
but like, also that's, like,
that's the stereotype that I think, I don't know. It just feels right.
Well, it's like, it reminds me a little bit of an interview I heard one time with, it was Conan O'Brien talking to Flew LeBorg, and he's like, how do you feel about Germans always playing villains? He goes like, oh, no, that makes sense. The Germans are always the bad guys.
Right. Yes.
And then he's like, well, who plays the bad guys in German movies? He goes, Germans. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
So who's the bad guy in these Southern American films? Southern Americans? So like,
Southern, yeah. Look, and it's not even sometimes, well, it depends on the film. It's not even like Florida Panhandle, like Hillbilly Southern. It's like old money plantation Southern. You're the really, really bad guys. Because in the Northeast, we know why the Civil War was fought. And it wasn't for states' rights. True.
I guess,
South Carolina.
Look, and I guess I can, and as someone who grew up in Michigan, I get that too. We always grew up like,
you have no skin in the game.
But yeah. it reminds me a little bit too of the movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Is my favorite movie of all time. Everyone in that movie has a Southern accent because it takes place in Mississippi. So everyone has a Southern accent. However, John Goodman's character is a stand-in for the Cyclops in the Odyssey. He's the only guy that has a like posh Southern accent, like a plantation accent. He's also a Bible salesman. He's like, this is my name, and I'm here to do
two
this.
Two red flags.
And, yeah. So then he and he is a villain. So yeah. So like.
I'm
even thinking
you.
About like, oh, I was like, well, that's just a stereotypical, and it just kind of makes me roll my eyes a little bit. But at the same time, I'm like, I mean, that does track, so I can't be mad at it. But I just
old
like
old money South. Just, you are all the villains.
But I'm just like, just say that louder for the people in the back.
Old money South, you're the villains.
Not everybody in the South, just old money South.
If you, yes, old money South. If you think, oh, it'd be nice to get married on this plantation, you are the problem. You're the villain. And he needs you to look in the mirror and get a good, hard look at yourself.
Yeah.
And that's why Clayton is Southern.
Yeah.
Because he has guns and he wants to shoot gorillas.
Yeah. That's his whole thing. That's literally all he does. He wants to go to Africa and shoot gorillas.
Villains don't need character traits.
No.
Likes guns. Wants to shoot stuff.
His two character traits.
Thinks he might get cucked by Tarzan.
He aggressively kisses Jane and she slaps him right in the face. Which I'm like, good. Don't do that.
Villain.
Ladies don't want that.
You know there's fanfic about Clayton.
Oh, I'm 100% sure. I'm sure there's like Clayton Tarzan fanfic out there too.
I'm looking right now.
Is it called Clartzan or something like that?
No, but I haven't even clicked on anything yet. Just the Google search results are making me laugh. Stranger Like Me, Chapter 1, a Tarzan fanfic.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And then, like, the sentence description underneath, Tarzan saves him and they fall in love. Oh, my God, it's a Tarzan-Clayton gay romance.
Oh, wow.
Yes. Oh, I know what I'm doing later.
Well, that's literally what I was talking about. And then you found one. So, like, immediately found one.
Oh, man.
What's
I never,
name,
look,
though?
I, this
What's
is
their
how
ship name?
Every.
Is it Clayzan?
Hello. Did you hear that?
No.
Holy crap. Sometimes my dog snorts like a pig. Just like full on snore. Ooh. Clayton and Tarzan is its own tag. That's the thing.
Is that... What's their ship name? Is it Clayzan?
I don't see anything yet.
Well, it should be.
I'm scared to click too far. Clayton is examining the jungle and Jane is nearby sketching animals when a baboon attack happens. Jane gets away, but Clayton isn't so lucky. Tarzan saves him and they fall in love. And apparently Clayton treats animals poorly because he had an abusive childhood.
Oh.
I'm going to read that later.
I'm so sad for him.
Preview. I'm going to give you a couple sentences because it's worth it. Chapter 1. Clayton hated being on babysitting duty. It was for a number of reasons. The main one being that Jane Porter was not suited to being in the jungle, certainly not traveling through it in that yellow dress of hers. No, no, no. She was far more suited to remaining in the camp, surrounded by all those books and research. The second reason was because, as Jane insisted on sketching something in the trees, he was left alone with his own thoughts, and that was something he could do without. Weakling boy! Exclamation point. I love fanfic so much. Whenever I am feeling like really depressed, I will read a bunch of fanfics because it makes me laugh and then I feel better.
This is new lore about you I didn't know.
Oh, man. Like, of all of the things.
All the different fanfics?
Of all the things of like my guilty pleasures. reading amateur, like teenage girls writing stories.
Well, how much?
It's so cheesy and like... just love it.
Makes me wonder how much of the Harry Potter Draco Malfoy fanfic have you read?
No, not really Harry Potter.
Not into that one.
No. There was one time, I can't remember how long ago this was. I think it was before I met you. It was a really bad bout of depression.
Okay.
And I just decided to like reread a bunch of books from my childhood that I liked, or like my younger self.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I reread the Divergent series because it was just something that was like easy. And then I didn't try to find Divergent fanfic, but I did. It's so bad and fun. Like when you have to read as a teacher, when you have to read students' writing and it's bad, it's just like annoying. But when you get to read bad writing, it's really fun.
Well, I'm glad that you enjoy.
So yeah, if I'm ever really sad, you can find me on the Divergent fanfics.
Wow.
Scrolling for hours. There's so much of it.
Oh, I'm sure.
Honestly, I'm not. I've never really been into Harry Potter, but if I were,
I believe it. I believe it.
So anyway, maybe I'll do a bonus episode where I'll tell you how this was. Stranger Like Me by Geeky Girl 24.
Oh. Oh, man.
It's only five chapters.
This doesn't surprise me at all. But
I'll finish that tonight.
So on the next 20 minutes of our podcast, Emily's just going to read this out loud. On pod.
I've already hit all of my talking points for this show, so.
I mean, I already have two. There's not much to talk about. It's boring. Biggest takeaways. Why? This show is boring.
Yeah.
I guess they like it in Germany for some reason. Ran for 5 years
in
Germany.
But the Germans have been supporting Starlight Express.
They also like Starlight Express.
For decades, yeah. So.
I rock and roll Sufjan. Is that what it is?
Stop.
Oh, did you know that there was a reality show in Germany to cast Tarzan and Jane?
No, but yeah. It seems like a bad idea.
It's called Eek Tarzan Do Jane. divulging this information was worth just seeing your reaction. Eek Tarzan Do Jane.
Was it produced by Andrew Lloyd Webber? This feels like an Andrew Lloyd Webber project.
It doesn't say.
This fanfic is
it
so
originally
good.
Started, but the is it,
it's
well,
so good.
It says that and the German production opened in Hamburg, Germany at the Neue Flora Theater on October 19th, 2008. Produced by Disney and Stage Entertainment. It originally starred Anton Zetterholm and Elisabeth Hubert, who won the roles of Tarzan and Jane on the German casting show Eek Tarzan Do Jane. Then the show, it ran until 2013.
Would you ever play this role?
Which one? Tarzan?
Yeah.
No. I'm too fat.
I just feel like...
I mean, could
I? Know.
Yeah, I could play the liver loving out of it, but I don't want to. Anyway, you said there was this show was opening in Tokyo, you said?
I think that's what the Wikipedia page said.
The last thing I'm seeing here is that there was it reopened in Germany in 2013, 2023. So it closed in 2013, and then after its huge previous success in Germany, where the musical already ran for nearly 10 years in different locations... Stage Entertainment announced on September 20th, 2022, that they would once again produce Tarzan in their German theaters. The premiere will be held at Stuttgart on November 18th, 2023, approximately 5 years after its last performance in Germany.
Melbourne.
Melbourne.
I'm just looking like
Melbourne.
If you're on the Wikipedia page
for Tarzan,
there's the poster. Mm-hmm. And then it's like music, lyric, books, productions. The last one is 2025 Tokyo.
Yeah, you're right. There it is.
But I don't see anything for it. Apparently people are pushing for some kind of theatrical release or maybe a remake of Tarzan, but it looks like it is getting a production in Melbourne.
Hmm. Okay.
Starting this month. Well, at time of recording this month. August 29th to September 7th. So
right.
A short little run.
Well, I do think...
I forgot to Dreamcast, but...
Oh, okay.
I know the Nightmare Cast.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll say this. Before we get into that, I did... Right at the very bottom of the Wikipedia page before you get to the awards stuff, which isn't many, but my favorite thing that I read that came out of this was that Carrie Langle of the Republican said, the, quote, heart of Tarzan's darkness is Phil Collins' bland melodies and generic lyrics, which offer such character insights as, my heart is beating faster. I must know more about her. She makes me feel so alive. Even for a kiddie musical, that's a pretty weak effort. That was my favorite quote from a review of Tarzan.
Phil Collins did that for us.
But he can't write musical theater. He should stay away.
Bland melodies? I mean, I guess that if we're only talking about the new stuff.
I think specifically they're talking about the new stuff. But like, Stranger Like Me is a banger. And I will... Will I blast that in my car and sing it later? Probably yes. And I'm not ashamed about it. Am I going to sing You'll Be In My Heart and Cry? Probably. Like, it's just going to happen.
Oh, see, none of that. I just like Trash in the Camp. And mostly because when I was in, I don't know, middle school, maybe, I did like a summer band program that was like the next town over did summer band. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have one in my town. And so like everyone who was a hardcore band nerd just went over and did it. And like summer band was really casual. Like anyone could be a part of it. There's no auditioning. On Thursday, you show up to rehearsal for like 2 or 3 hours, play through everything. And then Friday night is the concert. Mm-hmm. So we had like one playthrough and we did a Tarzan medley one time and Trash in the Camp was in it and there was a big saxophone solo. And we didn't play it as a solo. All three alto saxes played it together, but it was super fun. I had a great time.
Cool story, bro.
Thank you. Trash in the Camp forever. Yep. Justice for Turk.
Justice for Tartan.
And Tantor. And Rosie O'Donnell.
Yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell, who did a lot of heavy lifting.
In that show?
For the musical theater community.
Oh, that too.
Just in life with her talk show.
How much disrespect to not let Rosie O'Donnell come back and play this part?
I don't understand why we need to make Turk a man. And I think the guy playing Turk did a fine job. Yep. Is it just that Rosie O'Donnell has kind of a deep voice?
Well, to be fair, when I was a kid, I was like, is Turk a boy or a girl? Like, I didn't know for sure. I knew it was Rosie O'Donnell because I knew who she was.
Yeah.
But I was like, but is Turk a boy or a girl? I can't tell. But then it was confirmed for me in this that was like, she's a girl. I'm like, oh, okay, great. But then they changed it.
Yep.
Because it was noted under changes in the Wikipedia page that they changed Turk from a girl to a boy. And I was like, oh, well. Because we don't have enough. We have too many roles for women on Broadway now. So we have to make sure.
We don't. Yeah, we can't. There aren't that many women who want to work on Broadway. Yeah. So I feel like two roles maximum is probably pretty good.
That's
three
that's
in, if it's Les Mis.
In the contract of every musical they work on now. Okay, so I actually did do a little bit of a Dreamcast here.
Okay.
And I'll go over that because I have my Dreamcast and you can tell me about your Nightmare Cast all you want to.
I only have one person that I want to see in one role.
Oh, because I did a handful.
Go ahead.
So let me start from the top, work my way down. So for the role of Tarzan, I honestly want to see Tom Holland do it. He's a musical theater guy.
No, Tom Holland's a twink.
So? Put him in a padded suit.
Oh.
No, he's a musical theater guy. He was Billy Elliot. He's Spider-Man. He's used to swinging around.
Disagree. Continue. Sure.
Well, then give me a better option.
Henry Cavill.
That is a better option, but I don't know if he can
sing.
I don't know if he can sing. For Jane, I actually picked Isabelle McCullough. She's from Water for Elephants. That's what I recognized her. I knew her from that. Mm. And I thought she'd do a good job. She has a very pretty voice. I think she'd do a good job there. For Kala, I just picked Merle Dandridge again because I think she did a great job. I think she has more of that matronly kind of quality to her now than even when she did then. So just have her do it again. She was probably one of the few parts of the show that I was like, I buy that.
I'm just sad they put her in such an ugly costume.
Yeah, that too. Then for Kerchak, why not pull Patrick Page in? Because there's not a lot of Broadway baritone basses. Just pull Patrick Page in. He's been the Green Goblin. Let him do it.
Truly, you are creating a nightmare cast. I hope you know this.
Why am I creating
a
nightmare cast?
It's just all that. No, Patrick Page is better than that.
I know he wouldn't do it. That's not what this is.
I hope he wouldn't do it.
And then for Turk, we'll bring back Rosie O'Donnell. That was my whole thing.
I like Rosie O'Donnell. I also think Titus Burgess could do it.
I thought about that as well.
When he started singing, I was like, is that Titus Burgess?
I thought about Titus Burgess, too. I'll take both.
Greatest Show Pod alum, Titus Burgess. I feel like Nightmare Cast, there's only three, right, that consistently are Nightmare. I think once Ben Platt is done playing Bat Boy, he will come play Tarzan. Obviously, Sophia Ann Caruso has to play Jane.
I think he can keep his eyes open enough to swing.
That is pretty funny.
Tries to grab a vine and he can't see. He's like, and he just like misses it. And thank you. Yeah, I'm glad you enjoyed my joke there. That was pretty funny.
That was a good one.
Thanks.
And then obviously I need Hugh Jackman to play Clayton.
Clearly. Who else is going to play Clayton?
There's no other choice.
Sophia Ann Caruso is Jane.
Yeah.
Ben Tarzan, she Jane.
Only, but like, I think Ben Tarzan. Oh, I'm tired. Ben Platt as Tarzan. I think there would be a lot more of the Tarzan yelling than there was on stage. I only want to do it if he can yell every time he's flying. Because, like, when that little kid was doing it, it really, for a while, I was convinced the kid wasn't talking at all, and it was, like, a full adult woman voice actor playing a little boy.
I thought that, too.
It had that quality.
I thought that, too. Yeah. Yeah. I 100% was like, is that a, I honestly was like, is that just a small woman playing Tarzan? Like, no, it's a little boy. I was like, oh. But yes, I was convinced. I did not think it was a little boy.
So, yeah, I imagine Ben Platt would do a lot more of the yelling, just this, like, you know, method to really get into character.
He's going to go fly down to West Africa and live with gorillas for a year to get into
character. And just practice that yell. And then also probably he wouldn't wear a wig. He would just grow his hair into long dreads.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm ever in a position where I need a job, I'm not going to get one from Mark Platt.
You know, me either. Like, I just, by association.
If I were desperate enough to be in that position. And, like, the thing is, I'm not sorry.
Okay.
So, I guess I'm just ruining my own life here, so.
Yeah, well.
Whoops.
What a dud.
It's, yeah.
What a dud this show is, just in general.
Do you want to rate it?
Do I want to rate it?
Not really.
A solid 2 out of 10.
Ooh, this is worse than the Civil War?
Oh, no.
Do you think?
What did I give Civil War?
I think I give Civil War a 5, I think.
No, I give Civil War lower than a 5.
Oh, okay. Wait, did I give it lower than a 5? I don't remember.
I don't remember.
I don't remember what I rated Sunset Boulevard either, but I found myself longing for Sunset Boulevard while I was watching this, so.
Oh, wow, that's saying something. I'm going to get, you know what, I'll change it. I'm going to give it a 4. Because at least it has, you know what, never mind. I'm going to give it a 5. Because at least it has the songs from the movie in it. 5. 5 out of 10.
As I'm sitting here, I thought originally I was going to give it a 5. And then I was like, well, I don't know. I didn't enjoy this in any sense.
Yeah.
But I also...
I literally cleaned my house as I was watching this show.
I wonder how much of me hating it was just the concept of the Broadway production.
I don't know.
Because, like, really, truthfully, just the set and costumes kind of ruined it for me. No, Before You Go, what is this? Disney's musical Tarzan. Where are you? Oh, in Stuttgart. Okay. It looks the same.
Yeah, I don't think it's any different.
The German production? Ugh.
Can you send me a link?
This is a TripAdvisor link.
Oh, a TripAdvisor?
I was just looking for pictures. But, it's the same. The greenery is done a little differently,
yeah,
but the costumes look
the same.
Yeah. I think the concept is what I really don't like about this.
Turk is apparently
aside from that, it's just like a mediocre show. And there's nothing
photos.
In it.
It's clearly too many photos.
There's nothing in this that I particularly hated. I just think it was really ineffective. Ineffective?
Ineffective, yeah.
It was really ineffective. Music von Phil Collins. Oh, look at these souvenir cups.
What a handsome German man that guy is, though. His face on the ticket. What a handsome man.
I don't know. I'm torn. I don't really know what to rate it. It's politicized? What?
What?
The comments say on the, because this is on TripAdvisor, there's a review. It's translated, but unfortunately it's also politicized. Tarzan ends up holding a rainbow flag. What?
What?
Why?
Why?
Was it in June for Pride Month? What, like, what purpose could that possibly serve to the story except as an external reference to Pride Month in June? I don't know.
I don't know. This does look relatively the same. Oh, I will say this, like, I did go back and watch, like, a professional, like, the trailer for it, or it were, like, coming soon, the whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they showed a clip from the very beginning of the movie, very beginning of the show, where, like, it was hard to see in the bootleg that we watched, but in the very beginning, when Tarzan's parents, like, shipwreck happens, you see, like, this big curtain thing that has, like, says Africa, and it's got all everything on it. They start out, like, laying down on the beach, and they're, like, flat up against that backdrop.
I was trying to figure out what they were doing.
So, like they washed up on shore, and we're looking down at them from, like, an aerial view. Mm-hmm. That was a really cool shot. I'll give them that. I'm like, that was cool, but then everything else sucked. So,
yeah, I don't know. I guess as I'm with you. It's a 4. I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
I liked it about equal to the Civil War.
Oh, woof. And you, like, you got so tired of talking about that show.
I didn't feel like there was anything to talk about. This one, at least, I feel like there's problems that I can fix. Maybe it's like a 4.5 mm-hmm. or a 5. Like, I feel like it's salvageable.
Yeah, I'm giving potentially. It a 5 overall. But, yeah, I guess there's things you could potentially fix. So I'm like, you can't really fix the terrible song additions. But it's like, if most of the problems are in presentation, you could fix that.
The costume design, this is what I'm thinking. The costume design and the scenic design remind me of working at, like, performing arts summer camp. And you got 3 weeks to put a show up.
Oh, yeah.
And also there's, like, 80 shows going up in the summer. Mm-hmm. This in, like, that concept is perfect for summer camp.
I gotcha. I see what you mean, yeah. I can get behind that.
I would be really disappointed if I walked into this Broadway house not knowing what to expect. Being like, why are the costumes so ugly?
Yeah. I don't understand. Like, we've already talked about the costuming, but, like, it's not effective. It's a weird amalgamation of Lion King with, I don't know.
Cats.
Yeah, almost like cats. But at least cats, they look like f***ing cats. They don't look like, these gorillas don't look like gorillas.
They don't really look like cats either, but they all don't look like cats.
But they at least have, like, and they have the ears and the tail and, like, they have the furry texture. So at least they look more like a cat than these human gorillas who don't look like gorillas. They look like people wearing furry suits. They look like Rufio. They all look like Rufio from Hook is what they look like. Kerchek is just the most Rufio.
Bob, did you have your hands in that too?
Oh, I don't know.
No, I don't think Bob Crowley was involved in the show.
In Hook. No, I didn't think he was.
When are we going to do a Sondheim?
And this year, this season?
I know, it's so late in the season.
It's so late. You picked to put it there.
I know. Just listeners, just hang on. I promise it'll be worth it. Just wait until January.
We'll just wait, and then we'll say, here we are.
Well, it's curtains for us here at the Greatest Show podcast.
You could be more Thanks enthusiastic. For listening.
I'm exhausted from this show. I've taken all my enthusiasm just to get through this. And it's almost 10:30, it's past my bedtime.
Okay.
And I'm still awake talking about this disaster of a Broadway show.
Okay.
And I'm still mad that they didn't have Tantor in it.
Yeah.
They brought that tree in, and I was like, there's his leg. They're going to do a fun thing. And they didn't.
Nope.
What a waste.
They just cut him.
He's the best line in the whole movie. Are you sure this water's sanitary? It looks questionable to me.
What about bacteria? Yeah.
When the mom is just like, it's fine, honey. And he steps in the water and goes, ugh. But what about bacteria?
I feel like that's probably the Disney character you connect the most with, isn't it?
No, I just love that line so much. I think he's so cute when he's a little baby.
Yeah, he's very cute. And then he's voiced by Wayne Knight.
So cute. Yeah, anyway, okay, that so I was outroing. Thanks for listening. I'm not starting over.
Oh, okay.
That can all stay. Okay. Thanks for listening. If you like the show, tell your friends. Give us a rating and review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening right now. You can follow us on social media at Greatest Show Pod. We're all over the place. Find us, hit us up, tell us what you think about Tarzan. Tell us what shows you think we should cover in the future, even though we've already predetermined the rest of the season. But we're open to suggestions.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly if you have better suggestions than the ones we've covered so far, which have not been great. If I love it or I hate it, I feel some emotions, it's more fun than if I'm just like, man, this was bad.
Yeah.
And that's why
that's
why Merrily We Roll Along was a 4.5 hour episode and this is 1:30.
Yeah, for sure. And it's going to be edited down
even further. You can email us at thegreatestshowpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you in the next one.
Yay.
Yay.
It's The Greatest Show, Man. It's produced by Brantley Wheeler and Emily Chavone. Our theme song is by the incredibly talented Patrick Duffy. Links to all his social media in the episode description. You can find us on all the socials at Greatest Show Pod. Tweet at Emily and tell her why her opinions are bad and she should feel bad. If you have any suggestions for a musical we should cover in the future, send us an email at thegreatestshowpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next one.
I had to stop watching Dimension 20 for this today, so I hope you're happy.
Oh, well, that's a bummer. I'm disappointed that you had to do that, but you know, it's okay. Do you start a junior year?
No, I was just rewatching sophomore year instead of watching this.
Oh, I gotcha. Did you watch this though?
Yeah. No, I'm just faking it.
Yeah.
Of course I watched it.
No one knew. You might.
Begrudgingly. At one point, about 40 minutes in, I thought, did we pick any good shows this season?
Ha 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 ha.